found the answer. I started looking through some of the raw intelligence coming across his desk. He was looking at a ton of signals intercepts, which is really well below his pay grade. I've been searching all weekend, but I didn't find anything that made any sense. It hit me tonight that he would have hidden whatever it was, that he would have removed it from the system so I couldn't pull it up. He couldn't hide the raw feed, though, so I went back and found an intercept that wasn't in message traffic. What was it? It's the Russian president's itinerary. NSA intercepted some communication between the Russian FSO, the Federal Protective Service, and the president's executive office. The FSO is their version of the Secret Service. We have a 30-day snapshot of where President Zubarev will be hour by hour. It's this month, Strain. We are halfway through the calendar that we have. Where's the Russian president now? He's scheduled to give a speech in Odessa tomorrow at noon. Then he flies to Moscow early the following morning. Gray didn't randomly choose this month to disappear. That schedule is the key. We'll need some analytical assets at our disposal, Andy. You think you can help? I thought you'd never ask. What can I do? Danreb felt like he'd been liberated from prison. I need your best team, people you can trust in a secure conference room. I need you to be our eyes, ears, and brain as this info comes through. I'll get on the phone and start waking people up. I need you to be absolutely sure that none of these people are tied to Gray. That's not a problem. Let's just say that he and I don't run in the same circles around here. Do you know Nicole Fan at CTC? I've heard the name, but I don't know her. She's been helping us on this. You might want to bring her in if you can. Will do. I better run if I'm going to get this thing up and running. Thanks, Andy. Great work. Freddy ended the call and turned to his friend. Reese, I almost forgot. What? Strain pulled a duffel from a compartment behind his seat. I saw what you gave to Richard Hastings in Africa and thought you might need a new one, he said as he pulled a Winkler Tomahawk from his bag and handed it to his friend. Reese stared at the masterpiece of wood and steel, slowly pulling the small bungee cords that secured the Kydex sheath to its deadly head and examining its razor-sharp blade. I can't accept this, brother. It's your squadron axe, Reese said, honored and humbled. I've never carried it. As you know, I prefer my guns, Freddy said, smiling, clearly enjoying the moment. Keep it. Think of it as a thank you for nailing that Haji that was climbing the building to take me out in Morocco. Plus, I know how much you love those things. Thank you, Freddy. I'll hold on to it for you. How about that? Sounds good, Reese. Chapter 77. Somewhere over the Mediterranean Sea, October. The toughest part was going to be getting word to the Russians. Ordinarily, the State Department would have been the appropriate channel, but in this case, more urgency was required. Strain had relayed what information he knew to Vic Rodriguez, who was working the phones on his way into the office. After speaking with Janice Motley, it was decided that the best course of action was to have the Moscow station chief reach out to the Federal Protective Service, responsible for President Zubarev's security. Sources and methods had to be protected, so the communication was simple. The United States government had reason to believe that individuals, possibly Syrian nationals, were targeting the Russian president during an upcoming trip to Odessa, Ukraine. The head of the FSO was polite and appreciative, but offered no information in return. Their apprehension about sharing and their skepticism about a threat were not unfounded. Single-source intelligence, hunches, and assumptions were how one got into trouble. Of course, that ran contrary to the sixth sense that had kept warriors alive in battle since the beginning of time. Sometimes, you just needed to trust your gut. The CIA jet was within 30 minutes of landing at Odessa International Airport when the phone rang again. This time it was the agency doctor who had accompanied the SEALs on the takedown of Yadid's yacht, calling with an update. This is Strain. Freddy, this is Dr. Rob Bellinger. I've got an update for you.
Give me good news, Doc.
Well, as you know, I don't make the good or bad determination. It's information, and I would rate it reliable.
Understood. What do you have for us?
CIA analyst Oliver Gray went through General Qasem Yadid to hire a sniper team. Their last known location was 2 weeks ago along the Turkey-Georgia-Armenia border near a town called Gürle. General Yadid identified the sniper team as Tasho Al-Shishani, a Georgian, and a Syrian named Nizar Katan. Langley is doing a workup on them now. They'll send you photos, if they have any, along with anything else they can dig up.
And the target?
He said he didn't know. Gray wanted to run the operation himself.
How confident are you in what Yadid told you?
Mr. Strain, I didn't even need to open my case, which is always the best way. He isn't a radical ready to die for Allah. Those are my specialty. He is a businessman and has no interest in dying for the cause. I am not at liberty to discuss his deal, but rest assured the agency will put him to good use as an asset.
Understood. Anything else?
Yes. General Yadid had a female companion with him when he was detained.
You mean a prostitute?
Yes. She told us that there was an American on the yacht a few days ago. Yadid confirmed it was Gray. They dropped him off when they picked her up.
Where was that, Doc?
Odessa.
Freddy pulled an iPad from his pack and selected the icon for Lead Nav Systems, a sophisticated imagery program used by Special Operations Forces. He pulled up the area surrounding Gürle and turned the screen so Reese could see it.
That was Dr. Ron Bellinger. He's a CIA interrogator that, redacted, jumped in on the Yadid takedown. He says that Gray hired General Yadid to find him a sniper team, and he got him one. And get this, their last known location was just across the Black Sea, right here, Freddy said, moving the cursor to a place on the screen. Notice anything?
Looks pretty rural, Reese offered. Good place to shoot a rifle without attracting too much attention.
I agree. They're training for something. Look at how close it is to the coast.
Let's say these snipers board a ship somewhere here, Freddy said, pointing to the screen, then cross the Black Sea. They're in Odessa. Freddy zoomed the image out to show the entire Black Sea and its coastline, with the sniper's last known location directly opposite the landlocked body of water from the Russian president's destination.
Can you pull up port information on that thing? Reese asked.
Nothing too specific. We'll need Andy's team for that. It looks like the closest port of any size would be Batumi, just across the border in Georgia.
The engines had powered back and the jet was descending rapidly over the Ukrainian countryside. The pilot came over the cabin's speakers and indicated that they would be on the ground in 10 minutes. Both men put on their seatbelts and took a few moments to think through the newest information. The puzzle was coming together, but Reese still felt like they were missing a big piece.
Chapter 78. Odessa, Ukraine. October. Upon their arrival in Ukraine, Reese and Freddy were met by a case officer assigned to the embassy in Kiev, who was not happy to have made the 6-hour drive to retrieve some bearded commando types from the Odessa airport. Steve Douglas was polite, but not overly friendly, as he greeted them outside the terminal. The men stowed their backpacks in the back of the small black Lada 4x4 SUV and climbed inside.
So I'm assuming that you guys are here for the president's visit?
Something like that, Reese responded.
I guess the Secret Service needed some extra bodies. Not sure why they couldn't pick you up.
We aren't super close with the FSO, Freddy added.
What do you mean the FSO? I'm talking about the Secret Service.
The United States Secret Service? Reese asked.
Of course. POTUS is here.
The President of the United States is here in Odessa?
He will be in a couple of hours. You're telling me that's not why you're here?
Freddy immediately called Rodriguez on the sat phone and gave him the rundown. The interagency wheels, however inefficient, began to turn in Washington as the agency made contact with the Secret Service. Much like presidents' recent visits to war zones in Iraq and Afghanistan, this visit was being kept a secret until the last moment. The White House pool of reporters would not even be aware of their destination until Air Force One landed in Odessa. And as can be the case in a bureaucracy as big as the United States intelligence and federal law enforcement apparatus, the right hand often did not know what the left hand was doing. In the meantime, Steve Douglas made a phone call and determined which hotel the advance team was using as a base of operations. By the time the local agents were informed that a pair of CIA officers were on the ground with specific threat intel, Douglas was parking outside their temporary command center in Hotel Otrada. As the trio entered the hotel lobby, a petite female agent with a lapel pin on her blue pantsuit approached them. Freddie fished his green agency identification badge out of the inside pocket of his jacket. All Reese had was his black U.S. passport, which he handed over. She scrutinized both, returning Freddie's badge before handing over Reese's passport.
"You look just like a guy I saw on a wanted poster, Mr. Donovan," the agent said, staring at Reese with bright, unflinching eyes.
"I get that a lot." She slowly broke into a smile and shook their hands.
"I'm Kim Scheer. Follow me."
It looked as though the Secret Service had occupied the entire hotel. Uniformed and plainclothes agents were moving around the lobby as they readied for the arrival of their principal, the President of the United States. Agent Scheer led the way to a suite on the hotel's highest floor. The room was packed with tables filled with computers and communications gear, as well as at least 15 agents and technicians. A tall man in his early 50s stood in the center of the room, clearly in charge. He wore a dark blue three-button business suit and his head was closely shaved, having given up the battle with his receding hairline a decade earlier. He turned to greet Reese and Strain like a man with a great deal on his plate.
"What can I do for you two gentlemen?"
His accent was from Minnesota, or perhaps the Eastern Dakotas.
"We're from the agency, Ground Branch. I'm Freddie Strain, and this is James Donovan. We have reason to believe that there is a specific threat against the President of Russia and or the President of the United States here in Odessa."
They had his undivided attention.
"What kind of threat?"
"A sniper. A sniper team, to be precise, a Georgian national they call the Shishani, and a Syrian named Nizar Katan. Last known location was across the Black Sea in Turkey. The president needs to cancel whatever public appearance he has planned."
"How credible is this?"
"It's credible," Freddie responded.
"I hate to break it to you guys, but a lot of people want to kill the president. We can't shut down his schedule every time some nutcase makes a threat. I'm going to need specifics, gentlemen."
"Look, we have a Syrian general brokering mercenaries at the behest of a former GRU colonel named Vasily Andrinov, set on a transfer of power in Russia, who's put a sniper team within a stone's throw of Odessa at the same time the presidents of Russia and the United States just happen to be here. One or both of them are the targets." Reese was starting to lose his temper. The man put up a hand.
"I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean it that way. I'm up to my eyeballs here, and now I've got two scraggly-looking agency guys telling me about some plot to kill the president. Let's start over. I'm Lee Christensen."
The taller man shook both their hands, and his demeanor changed appreciably.
"Lee, the president needs to cancel this speech or move it inside," Freddie said. "If it were up to me, we'd never let him leave the White House, but that's not how a republic functions. We can't cancel his itinerary every time there's a threat. This isn't some wacko posting threats on Twitter from his mom's basement. This is a trained sniper team," Freddie stressed.
Christensen sighed.
"Here's what I'll do. I'm going to pair you guys up with one of my agents so you'll have full access to our resources. Agent Scheer, you're going to be our point person on this. Whatever these guys need, you make sure they get it and call me directly if someone gets in your way. I'll talk with the White House and fill them in. Will that work for a first step?"
"That works for us," Freddie answered. Agent Scheer led them down the hallway into a smaller room that had been set up with a conference table. A whiteboard stood in the corner on a tripod stand. All three took seats with Shear at the head of the rectangular table.
"So what do we have, guys?"
Reese spoke up first. "We're going to tell you some things that you're probably not cleared for, so hopefully your memory isn't the greatest."
"I drink a lot."
"Perfect. Here's what we know. A former Russian intelligence officer with a history of planning coups and assassinations is living in Switzerland. He is on the outs with the current Russian administration led by President Zubarev and would love to have his hardliners in power. Through an intermediary, he contracts with a Syrian general to hire a sniper team whose last known location was in rural Turkey near the Georgian and Armenian borders." Freddy passed his iPad to Shear and pointed to the spot.
"Looks like a good place to train," she observed.
"Our thoughts exactly."
"May I?"
Shear asked rhetorically as she zoomed out of the image so that the entire region was visible.
"I don't like it that they're so close to the Black Sea and the presidents are going to speak on the coastline near a major port."
"Where's the speech?"
"Here."
Shear scrolled the map to center on Odessa and zoomed in on a site near the coastline.
"It's called the Bofo Colonnade. It's located on the grounds of the Vorontsov Palace. It's a tourist attraction and major landmark."
The curved, narrow structure was lined with 10 massive columns on each side and sat like a raised amphitheater in front of a cobblestone pedestrian area that led to a wide set of stone steps, framed on either side by elevated statues of full-maned African lions.
"What's the sniper risk at the site?" Freddy asked.
"We evaluated it as moderate. To the front there are buildings that block the line of sight to the lectern, and we have them secured and covered with our own counter-sniper teams. It's all low ground behind the colonnade all the way to the sea. There are some structures on the port with exposure, but we'll have everything there secure out to 2,000 meters. The entire harbor will be shut down during the speech, and we'll have eyes out that direction."
"Is that the president's only public appearance in Odessa?"
"Other than the airport tarmac and the route to the speech, that's it."
"Tell us about the route."
"Nothing ideal for a sniper, especially not in the Beast," Shear said, referring to the president's heavily armored Cadillac limousine.
"Anything else peculiar about this site?"
"Yes. There are catacombs underneath used during World War II, but they existed well before that. The partisans used them to fight the Nazis. The plaza was a restaurant in the 1800s. The owner would supposedly drag drunk customers down into the tunnel system, bring them straight down to the docks, and sell them to the slave ships waiting in the harbor."
"Really? Rough way to wake up. I'm assuming you've secured the tunnels?" Freddy asked.
"Correct, but they have 3 levels, and they've never been fully mapped. We've secured all known entry points, but people are discovering new ones all the time. There's an entire industry built around exploring them, discovering new passages, new artifacts."
"Terrific." Freddy checked his phone and saw an email from Andy Danreb. "Looks like the analyst team is up and running. Let's see if they have anything for us."
He dialed into a secure conference number and put his phone on the center of the table with the speakerphone engaged.
"Danreb here. Andy, it's Freddy and James. We're in Odessa with Agent Kim Shear from the Secret Service."
"Agent Shear, I'm Andy Danreb here at Langley with Nicole Fan and Fabian Brooks, our computer whiz. Appreciate you all pulling this together on short notice. Anything new?" Reese inquired.
Nicole spoke up.
"We are exploring anything and anyone with a connection to Vasily Andrenov, Jules Landry, and General Yadid. Andrenov's political connections and charitable giving have muddied the waters since there are so many paper trails to follow, but we are working it through. It looks like Landry's network was pretty slim. Yadid is connected to just about every radical Islamist refugee in the Middle East and Southern Europe."
"In other words, we don't have shit," Danreb chimed in.
"Keep on it, Andy. We have how long, Kim?"